Ah, hello, everybody. Hello. Welcome to In Between Appointments here on various social media channels for Feathers and Florence. We are genuinely in between appointments here in the studio. I get about half an hour to be able to just do my own thing, I suppose, on our social media channels. It's the only time I'm allowed any control over social media. So what better than to fill it with somebody else talking rather than me? And that's why I ask some brilliant, brilliant people to come on and I can ask them loads of questions, sit back and listen to their answers. This week, we've got the brilliant Steph May, who's a brilliant celebrant. So, and I'm going to stop talking. Steph, good afternoon. Where are you in the world, please?
Good afternoon, Liam. So I am down in Surrey today. I'm actually on a venue visit at RHS Wisley, which is absolutely beautiful. Yeah. So I've taken myself off into a corner and I'm talking to you.
Well, let's get straight into it then. So yeah. you say site visit. What do you mean? I'm sure you're not just looking at the architecture. What are you actually doing?
I'm having an ice cream as well. I'm conducting a wedding here next June. It's RHS Gardens that I know really well. But actually the location that the couple had chosen, I didn't know. So they're having a wedding in a very small building at the top of a hill, which is like a little temple in a garden for 50 people. And so I just thought, make the most of the summer holidays. I've got my kiddies in tow, so we've come over to have a look round and have a look at the venue. I try and visit all my locations, whether it's an indoor or an outdoor wedding, just to check, you know, what it's like, how the access is, what the sound quality is like, all those sorts of things. But particularly for an outside ceremony, I always come and sort of start thinking about, you know, where the chairs are going to be, where the aisle is going to be, all those sorts of things. So yeah, quite often out on a site visit.
And that's really interesting, because I didn't actually expect that to happen. I expect wedding coordinators and the people who dress the venue to go out and do site visits, but you actually go out and make sure that everyone's going to be able to hear the ceremony, because obviously that's really important, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, I mean, I haven't actually connected with the wedding coordinators here yet, just because it's for next year's, it's for next year. So they're thinking about this year's weddings. I don't have any weddings here with them this year. So I'll visit the venue and then I'll connect with them in the winter season. Obviously, I know who they are and I follow them on social media and stuff, but I like to come and have a little sneaky look around on my own.
I like that. And of course, I mean, that's in June next year. So yeah, and I'm assuming that you've got a really busy year next year planned, and maybe the year after as well.
Yeah, it's getting busier and busier. So I run Splendid Ceremonies by Steph, and I'm a newly qualified celebrant. I qualified last year, and it's picking up. It's getting busier. So I've got a few weddings for next year, a few weddings for the year after, and actually even a wedding booked for 2025. So brides seem to be booking further ahead. I think with the current climate, with the cost of living, it's nicer to have a longer time to save up for these things. And also, I think brides aren't rushing the engagement process and the wedding planning process. I don't know if that's what you found as well with the dresses and the build up. We're clearing through the COVID weddings now, and new couples are getting engaged, which is lovely.
Well, we come at it from a couple of angles. One, we're relatively new entrants into the market, similar to you, around the same time, but also we're planning our own wedding. And
congratulations.
Thank you. That's very kind. But we are taking a long time over the planning of it. Yeah. And we're looking 2 or 3 years down the line. I want to go back to why, because you entered into this industry, this brilliant industry, of which I'm finding every day at a very, very interesting time. So take us right back.
It's a pretty funny story, really. I have a background in theatre and performing. That's what I did my degree in, and then took the natural step to becoming a teacher. So I was a drama teacher for 10 years and worked in, you know, various different schools in that time, and then had children and realized that I couldn't do the commitments of a drama teacher around my children. My husband's also a policeman, so I have to bear that in mind as well. And a friend of mine went to a celebrant-led funeral, and she actually rang me from the outside and said, oh my goodness, I found the career for you. You need to go and become a celebrant. And I'd never heard of celebrancy. And I looked it up, and it was just a really natural fit. I love helping people. I love public speaking. I love building a production as such, wedding always is. And I like holding a couple's hand all the way through the journey, all the way up to their big day, and telling stories. That's the other thing. I you know, as a drama teacher, I'm used to that. And telling their love story and making a ceremony for them that is completely bespoke, completely personal. And I'm a creative at heart. Yeah. So it's the best job in the world.
How creative can you be then? I mean, what have you got boundaries, or can you just do anything?
No. So the joy of being a celebrant is there really are no boundaries. I'm quite a traditional celebrant in the fact that I do like rings and vows and wedding dresses and all those sorts of things. You get humanist celebrants who are don't include any religious content. But a joy of being a celebrant is that we can build our ceremony and we tell the love story. We can include religious references. So, for example, I've got a couple where Granny really wanted them to get married in church, but they're not religious. So we are having their ceremony, but we are going to include the Lord's Prayer. We are going to include hymns, but we're not going to be in a religious building. And that's made Granny happy, and everyone's good with that. I've got a couple who are incredibly nervous about getting married, so they don't want to do vows. So we're not going to do them. So I'm going to say vow like words, and they are just going to agree to them. The other joy of a celebrant is that you can get married anywhere. So just like I'm here today, and you can get married outside. I can do a marriage ceremony indoors, outdoors, first thing in the morning, last thing at night. My mentor, who I train with, actually did a wedding on midnight on New Year's Eve, which I always thought was really exciting.
Incredible.
But it's all about the couple. It's about not having the restrictions, and it's about being personal. Obviously, most couples think that you either have a church ceremony or a registrar ceremony. If you're religious, that's fine. A religious setting ceremony is wonderful. But if you aren't religious, the options are more limited in most people's eyes. But a registrar ceremony is incredibly limited. It's a 20-minute ceremony with a very, very limited script. Sometimes registrars are very limited on sort of music content or readings, but all of that is completely different with a celebrant. So I sit down with my couples and I help them choose all the elements, and we literally build it like a jigsaw puzzle. So we take all the elements that you can have, and we choose them, and we do them in different orders. And we just, it makes it all about them, and not just them, but the people that are there as well. So I like to include the guests. I want them to feel warm and welcome. And that's the most important thing, really, that everyone's happy at the end.
That is excellent. I'm really brilliantly succinct understanding now. Because I just always imagined that actually you had to be, I always thought there was a rule, whoever wrote it, that you have to be done at 2 o'clock, or everything happened at the same time. But actually, with you could do it at midnight.
There are lots of rules for registrars. I mean, really old, archaic rules of you've got to be seen in daylight, and it has to be under a shelter, and all these weird and random things. But as a celebrant, it's much more flexible. So the only difference is that what we do currently isn't legal. So if a couple wanted to legalise their marriage, they would just pop down to the registry office.
Yeah.
They'd have what's called a 2x2 or a statutory ceremony, £50. They go and do it either before the wedding, or sometimes they'd go and do it, on the 1 year anniversary. Sometimes they would never do it. But then that gives them the freedom to have the wedding ceremony with me that they want. And it doesn't have to happen in a licensed space. It doesn't have to happen at a particular time. Yeah, there's a lot more creativity. In the long run, I should probably mention, talking about couples that are planning ahead, it is due to change.
Great.
The Marriage Reform Act is going through. It's one of those lovely things that's been delayed by COVID. But all us celebrants are hoping that in not too distant future, it will be the person that is licensed, not the venue. I will be able to do a legal marriage, but at the moment it's a paper chain in Parliament, so that's a long way off, but I'm very excited about that.
I'm assuming then you you can't just change your name on Facebook and Instagram saying I'm now a celebrant. I'm assuming that there are some training that takes a long time, or you know, so talk to us about that. What have you had to go through to actually say, you know what, now I'm a celebrant and I can conduct these brilliant weddings?
It's a funny thing because I don't know what it's like in other countries, because in other countries we are legal, but you can have anyone be a celebrant. I've heard of friends and asking friends and family to do it. But I decided to go down the training route. I wanted to have that accreditation and that support behind me. And also I went in quite naive and thought, oh, it'll be a quick training course, but there is a lot to learn. There's a lot to learn to building a ceremony. There are legal ramifications. And you want to make sure that you really are delivering the ceremony that the couple want. And at the same time, I'm running a business. So I had my training. I actually trained with the Academy of Modern Celebrancy, who were amazing. And it was an online course with a mentor, and it took most of last year, and I really enjoyed it. And it really opened my eyes, especially to things like cultural and spiritual elements that you can add into a wedding. Like I say, structure, the public speaking side of things, I was quite, say, au fait with and comfortable with. But and deciding sort of what kind of celebrant I wanted to be. So all of that there was training, and there was written assignments, and I had, to sort of pass it. But yes, at the same time, you can have a friend or family, but then just like you can have a friend or family make your wedding dress or take your photographs. But actually, do you really want to put that pressure on somebody on your big day?
Yeah, and oh gosh, I'd absolutely see the value in what you do, and to have the whole thing conducted by someone who absolutely knows what they're doing, knows how to speak, knows what's coming next, knows how everything fits together is invaluable, really. You say you've got a mentor. Have you got someone who you look up to and go, do you know what, they are brilliant celebrants who I wish I could emulate.
My mentor was amazing, and she held my hand and helped me through the process, and we're still in touch, and she's quite local to me, so I see her weddings, follow her weddings, and she's a very established celebrant, so that's fantastic. I mean, there are lots of us in the country, but every single one is different, and I would encourage couples that if they were thinking about going down the celebrant route, they need to really find the celebrant for them, because you're booking your celebrant really early on in the process, more often than not, and they are there to help you all the way through the wedding planning process, and it's got to be a natural fit, because at the end of the day, your partner is going to be stood at the end of the aisle, and the celebrant, and you want someone who you're looking forward to seeing, and that you feel you're in trusted hands. So that's really important.
And how would you start then? A couple come to you and they go, we love what we've seen of you. We've maybe been to a ceremony what you've hosted, I think is the right word. But where do you start? You know, because I wouldn't know.
No. So they would make an inquiry with me, either through my website or through my social media. And then the joys of current technology, we probably have a little call like this.
Yeah.
Get to know each other, talk about what I'm offering, talk about, all the sort of nitty gritty of it as well, cost and timing. And then once they're ready to go through, so we call that a discovery call. And then once they're ready to go through, they would book, we would pay deposit, depending on the build up to the wedding, how long it is, that varies the deposit. And then about normally for a normal sort of time frame, about 6 to 8 months before the big day, I would make contact with them again. In the meantime, we might have a WhatsApp group where they can tell me when they've booked their florist and they've all those things. And I would probably go and do a venue visit like I'm doing now. And then, 6 to 8 months before we would meet up again, either in person or over like this. And we'd have another chat. We'd go through the structure of the ceremony, start building that together. And then what I do is I send them a questionnaire. And that's the fun bit where it's a questionnaire about them and about their story. I encourage couples to complete it separately so that they can really share what they want to share. And then I build a ceremony from there. And sometimes that's it. Then nothing happens until the wedding because they're happy with their ceremony. Sometimes there's lots of edits. Sometimes they don't want to see it. They want someone else to check it just to check the facts are right. Yeah. And then we would be in touch again over the next few weeks, how it goes. They'd see a draft maybe, or like I said, a relative might see the draft. And then there's the build up. If they want a rehearsal the day before, that's an option, and we can do that depending on the location. And then on the day, I'm there super early. So maybe an hour and a half before, I'm checking the chairs, checking the music, checking with their readers, making sure everybody's happy. And then we have their ceremony. And then quite often I hang around for a drink afterwards.
Yeah. There's got to be some benefits to it, sir.
But it's about holding their hand. I would maybe go and meet the bride or groom or whoever. If they're at the venue, I'd pop in and see them on the morning, check everything's okay. And the joy of it is that the script can be edited right to the last minute. So if something happens, if they want to include something, I had a bride who... A guest couldn't make it because of COVID. So we popped that in the ceremony that, you know, so-and-so couldn't be there. Also somebody else had a birthday. So we mentioned that. I'm just there to help them. And really important to be there on the, you know, beforehand, checking everything works, checking the music, checking the chairs, which you don't get with a registrar. I'm not bad mouthing registrars. It's just a different process. No. And I network with the venue, I network with the photographer, making sure everything's coming together. I'm there to make sure that your ceremony is exactly as you visioned it while you're sipping champagne, getting ready for the big day.
I can see that you really love it.
I do.
You really, really love it.
I do, definitely. It's everything I hoped it would be and more.
Great. So in your, I suppose, relatively short time of doing it, but is there a ceremony that so far that stood out that you want to do more of? I mean, they're all beautiful, aren't they?
I had a ceremony that was policemen, and we wrote the ceremony with links to the police. So before the bride arrived, I did the sort of housekeeping announcements as if it was a police briefing. Right. So I was like, item one, you know, this is what's going to happen. Item two, if the heavens open, you know, and did it as if it was a police briefing. So the groom got the giggles, which was hilarious. And then the bride came down, and everyone was already, it sort of broken the ice, the sort of nerves had dissipated, which was lovely. So that was a particularly special one. But I'm always, like I said, I haven't done too many so far, but I've got lots booked. And even the couples that I'm working with building their ceremonies now, I get so excited.
Love it. John Wright, thanks for watching. John said, she's passionate about it. Which I like.
Oh, that's me.
I like a lot. any more comments, please put them in the chat below. So let's look forward. And something lands in your social media, lands in your email, whatever it may be, and you look at it and you go, do you know what? That's absolutely perfect for me. I am all over that. It's target market, it's where I want to be. What does that look like? Because there might be that couple watching this right now or on playback.
For me, like I said, I'm quite traditional. So I do like couples that want that sort of traditional wedding. I'm not saying I wouldn't say no to something a bit more, you know, out off the wall, but or, you know, a destination wedding. Wouldn't say no to one of those.
No,
I haven't got
course.
One of those booked in. But for me, it's couples that really want to share it with their family and friends. So regardless of whether that's a big 200 people wedding, or I've just booked one yesterday that was a 20 people wedding, you know, it's all about their family and friends. It's about those guests have been really chosen and invited because they mean something to that couple. And as soon as I hear that, as soon as couples share with me that that's why they're getting married, they want to share their day with those people, that's it. I get excited. That's my thing. In terms of locations, I mean, down where I am in Berkshire, there are lots of beautiful hotels and, the river and things like that. So, I mean, I would love to do a wedding on the river. I'd love to do a wedding under starlight, all those sorts of things. But mainly it's about why they're getting married and what they want to do. And I always work with my couples to sort of, you know, take that time and think about, you know, why are you getting married? What does it mean? What's your experience of weddings? What, you know, with weddings you've been to in the past, what have you liked and what haven't you liked? Because what you don't want is your guests or you, even the bride and groom, you know, they're just doing that bit before the party. That's not what I'm interested in. I want the couples there where the reason they are there is to have the wedding. The party yeah. afterwards is the celebration, and that's brilliant. So yeah, that's my focus, is everybody feeling included and everybody really starting the celebrations off in style with an amazing ceremony.
So I'd like to ask you about your top tips, really, that you've learned so far, that you know, a couple come to you and say, well, you know, what's your top tips, whether it's where to start, whether it's about the ceremony, anything, a couple of top tips from where you've, what you've seen so far.
Okay. I would say, first of all, top tip is before you even, obviously you want to share that you're engaged and that's fantastic, but sit down with your partner to be. And like I said, really think about the who, when, what, where, why. Who are you doing it for? Why you're doing it? You know, why are you doing it? How do you want to do it? Why are you getting married? I've got it on my Instagram highlights. If anyone's interested, there's questions to answer, and that's really important. It will narrow down your options. It won't make it feel so overwhelming, and it will keep reminding you when you go back to those answers that it's just about the two of you. It's not about everybody else. It's just about the two of you. That would be my first tip. My second tip would be, look for inspiration, obviously on Instagram and Pinterest and all those amazing things. But at the end of the day, it's, you know, you can get over, that can be overkill. So keep going back to just the two of you, just making those decisions. You know, don't include every single bridesmaid and every single usher and all those sorts of things in all the decisions. And then the last thing I would say is have that element of surprise, have that yeah. thing that people are going to come away and go, I've never been to a wedding like that before. And that can be quite hard to find. With a celebrant wedding, it's given to you on a plate because people will come away and say, wow, that's a ceremony I'm not going to forget, because yeah. it's all about you as a couple. But yeah, have that element of surprise, and enjoy the process. Try and enjoy the process, but don't go into it naively. It is overwhelming. It is quite stressful. There's big decisions being made, money being spent, but try and enjoy the process as much as you can.
Brilliant. And now 23 minutes goes past very quickly.
It's flown by.
Doesn't it? So I suppose I'm going to finish on, where can people go? They'll be watching this now or on clips or on playback, yep. whenever. And they're going, oh, actually, do you know what? I'm local to where Steph is. Oh, I'm not local as well.
I want to find out more
about her. I want to find more about what she does. Where can people
sure.
go?
So I'm Splendid Ceremonies by Steph. I'm on Instagram and Facebook, and my website is literally www.splendidceremonies.co.uk, all one word. I would definitely say, if you're not local, because I know we're a long way away from each other, but do reach out. I'd love to hear that, you know, maybe having listened to this, that you're inspired to maybe look into a celebrant-led wedding. And I have lots of celebrant contacts that I'm more than happy to recommend. So yes. Absolutely. Reach out, say hello, and book a discovery call. They're completely free, no obligation, and it's just a chat. It's just a chat. Bring a biscuit, cup of tea, glass of wine, and we'll have a chat.
I love that. Well, Steph, first of all, thank you so much
for pleasure.
Spending some time. I know you're very busy. You're out on the site visit, and it means the world to us as a small business for you to come and chat to us. For you guys watching this, as I say, whether it's live now on Facebook, LinkedIn, wherever you're watching it, yeah. We do put this into a podcast and we put it on Apple and Spotify. Ooh. So if you've missed this and you want to listen to it all again, but you don't want to watch it, because why would you want to watch my face for half an hour?
No, not this face.
No, absolutely. You want to watch Steph, but you want to listen to it in your car, go on to Apple, Florence on Apple, and you'll find us all over that. Steph, thank you so much. Have a wonderful,
absolute
wonderful
pleasure, afternoon. Liam. Have a wonderful day. Enjoy.
Have a good day, everyone. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Today, you are holding the hands of your best friend, young and strong and full of love for you, as you promise to love each other forever. These are the hands that will love you. These are the hands that will hold you and comfort you through the years. These are the hands that will give you encouragement and support. These are the hands that you will each work with, create with, and use to build your life together. Congratulations, you're now married. You may kiss.